Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
One of my favorite people, and proud to say good friend, Chris Wheeler. Wheels, how are you today?
I would just like to say the same back to you, pal. I'm good. I was at the game last night, and I'm a little hoarse, but it was fun.
What is it like to be in that and to hear the passion in the stands and translate to the field?
You know, having been lucky enough to be in there last year and this year, you know, I have been to all the other ones, too, over the years. But
sure. The
best way I can describe it to you and the Penn State fans, it's like every night's a red whiteout. It's
nuts.
It's just... And it doesn't let up like the whiteout does it. You know, basically that goes the whole time. Well, the energy in these games, it starts, pregame introductions, and it just keeps on going the whole time. And it can't be a comfortable environment for the opposition to play in. And, you know, these fans are right now, they love this team. The team loves this city. And it's a true love affair. It really is. From growing up here my whole life, and, you know, you're from the Northeast and all, it doesn't usually work that way in our cities, in New England and New York and Philadelphia. You know, it's usually an adversarial thing going on. It's not. it's just a love-in from the beginning of the game to the end, Steve, and it's really fun to be there. I'm not a good fan. I was so used to doing stuff like you do during a game, and it's hard to sit there and be a fan. I'm just too antsy, but it's great to be a part of it.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you mentioned that, because when we're broadcasting games, we're involved and we're doing something. Instead of waiting for something to happen, we're already active, and it is really different. We're like, okay, now I have to sit here? What are you talking about? I can't just sit here.
It's awful. It's baseball. You know, you love baseball like I do, and so many people do, but the people that don't, like, oh, nothing's happening. Oh, there's a lot happening. Oh. There's so much anticipation of what's going on. And now with the clock, I mean, of course, it works a lot. It goes a lot quicker than it used to, but the game itself is just such a game of nuances and moments. Football is too, but baseball is a game I think of as moments and leading up to them. And like when Dominguez throws a double play ball in the center field, because outs are so important in any game, but especially in a postseason game. So it's just fun. But I don't want to be doing the games anymore because I'm over that. But I'd like to be doing something that would keep my mind off the game per se, like that you are when you're a fan.
Right. Exactly. What is it? What's the ingredient with this team that makes the fans love them so much? I mean, you've seen decades of this as the different teams translate to different fans. Why does this team translate?
Well, that's a great question. The only thing I can say is that they give it back. They give the fans give it to them, but the players give it back, and they own up to everything. Starting with Bohm last year when he said, "I hate this bleeping place," and I've heard a lot of guys say that, but they didn't have their face on television when they said it. So when they win the series and stuff, they go over to the Infinity Center across the street and party with them and ride the bull over there and all that sort of stuff. Some of those guys, they just have a feel for what it takes to play in this town. And you and I have talked about this before, because I say we're both from this part of the country, and an agent will say, my player's going to come to Philadelphia. He can play there. He knows what. No, he has no idea what it's like till he gets here.
No.
Forget it.
No.
Yeah, because if you do well, they'll love you. If you don't, boy, they'll be all over you and trying to get you to be better or get rid of you. And I think this team, Dave Dombrowski's done a great job with not only bringing great players in here, paying great players, but of also bringing the correct personalities in here who know how to play. They're good players. I mean, we've got good players here. but they understand the mentality of playing in this city. And it all clicked last year in the postseason. And I don't know. I can remember, you know, the Vet and also Citizens Bank Park being a home field advantage. It has been, but this is really intimidating for an opposition team to come in here. All that said and done, Arizona's a tough young baseball team, and they did not flinch last night. And I mean, that ball that Schwarber hit on the first pitch of the game sounded like a rifle. It was so loud when he hit it, and then a hitter later, Harper goes 430 or whatever he did with his, and it was deafening in there. But they hung in there, and they made a game out of it. They're good.
Yeah, no, they are a good team. And people don't realize they were leading the Dodgers for a good portion of the summer before them relinquishing it and then had to battle back to get into the playoffs. But you talk about mentality. I felt like they signed the single perfect free agent that matched the city in Harper, because that's a blue-collar city that works hard, and he's a star that works hard. Is that fair?
Amen. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, and signing that kind of guy also made it possible for them to bring in a guy like Castellanos and Turner and those kind of players, because they say, all right, well, Harper's here. You know, big-time free agent like him, you know, there must be a reason why they want to play in Philadelphia. Yeah, Harper gets it. He's just, you know, there's been stories out this week about how he talks about, and you know, as a fan, gosh, who was more heralded young kid as a baseball player than Bryce Harper, the chosen one and all that stuff. And he said, look, the pressure was on me when I was 14, 15, 16. He says, there's no pressure on me now. He said, this is fun. I'm having a great time. So I think he just embraces it. And of course, he has immense talent, and he reminds me of Jimmy Rollins. I always told you I thought Jimmy Rollins was our number one red light player back in those postseason days. Well, Harper's just—he just loves the moment.
Yeah, and again, not everybody does. Now I'll give you New York examples. Kevin Brown and Ed Whitson were two very good pitchers other places, and with New York, they couldn't do it.
Right. Hey, we had Lance Parrish here, who you remember very well. He was a great catcher with the Tigers.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He came here, and it was over. He started to struggle a little bit. They started to hoot on him. Oh, get me out of here. Right. So, you have to have a certain makeup to play, I think, baseball as much as anything in this part of the country. I always said it starts, I guess, up in Maine, and it ends about Delaware. Yeah. And then, you know, from that point in between there, you need a different type of mentality to play in these areas.
Because you're going to play 81 of these. You're not playing 8 or 9, right? And guess what? Right. You're not wearing a helmet where they can't see your face.
And what's the old joke about football? You know, there's fans sit up in the stands, and they scream and yell that this guy's holding, and this guy does that, and this guy does that. And then the coaches say, well, I don't know what happened until I look at the film. And then the fan goes out in the parking lot, and he can't find his car.
Yeah.
You know. and what do we do in baseball? Like you said, you see them, you see their faces, you see their expressions. They make a mistake, we put error up all over the board. And there's never, you know, in football, you go in there and you think, well, you know, did he really hold, or did he really, you know, did he really interfere with a guy? Because there's different rules. It's pretty cut and dry in our sport.
Yeah, and when you walk back to the dugout, guess who's around the dugout?
Oh, yeah. You know, they question your ancestry and all kinds of things in these towns. So, yeah, you got to have thick skin. And look, you know, I love all sports, but there's never been a sport created that's more of a failure sport than baseball.
Because if
you fail 7 out of 10 times, you are 300, you're supposed to be really good.
Well, guess what? You get direct deposit.
Right. it's so hard to hit. And especially now, as hard as these guys throw, and they bring in so many different guys and games. And, you know, a guy like Gallen last night, and Merrill Kelly, who are going to see tonight, they're more of a finesse guys. And
sure.
But the bullpens nowadays are almost all these guys that just hump up when they come in. And it's hard. It's hard to hit. It's always been hard to hit, and I don't think it's ever been harder to hit than right now.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about that. And, you know, tonight Nola goes. And we're going to get to the Penn State football questions in a second, so this will be my last first question. Okay.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to do that. Because this is a two-way street here.
Oh, thank you.
But Bryson Stott's at second. Rojas is in center field. Bones at third. Nola's a former first-round pick of the team. What is this fan base deeply connects with the guys that come through the system, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's been a while, too. You know, look, they had a great run there, you know, to produce those 70s and early 80 teams, and then the teams that we had starting around 2007 with a bunch of farm system guys there that won a World Series and then lost one of the Yankees. But, yeah, there's something about when you develop players in your own system and seeing them come out there and compete, and the Phillies have not done a very good job of that, just really bad for a number of years. And now all of a sudden, boom, here come these guys. And you mentioned Stott and Bohm, they're number ones. Nola was a number one. So, you know, we made a lot of mistakes with number one picks for too many years. And now it's started. And then you mix them in with these great veterans. And Rojas has been a lifesaver in center field. I mean, he reminds me of Andrew Jones in a way, because when you look up, and you've done a lot of baseball, you know, there's certain guys, the ball's hit, and then you look up and you say, oh, man, he's been running three or four steps already before I even saw him move. Well, yeah. You don't teach that. You know, that's instinctive. And he can do that. And then you get a guy, kid like this Kirkering who's come up. I actually saw him pitch an inning in a Threshers game in Clearwater this year while I was down there still. This was in April. This guy went through the whole system and is now on the major league roster in postseason play, and he went to USF, which is University of South Florida right there.
Yeah.
One of the greatest stories I've ever seen, rocket through a system like that. And, you know, I still think Thompson's probably going to use him in a game because, you know, you might get tired of all these guys we bring in that strike out people, but they walk too many.
Yeah. And I saw a lot of Rojas and did a lot of Rojas games when he was at Williamsport in 2019. And, again, offensively, you knew that the speed was the calling card. It wasn't going to be power with him. But you watch him, not just the anticipation and the routes he takes. He understands where the ball is hit, and he makes up steps because he takes the best angle. And that's what struck me about it. I said, this guy can really play defense. He gets the angles of the game.
You picked right up on it. And as we're saying, you know, as a play-by-play guy or color man, you're watching the play. In front of you, the ball's hit, boom, you look up. And you don't see that many outfielders that have already taken that many steps. That play he made on Acuna with the bases loaded the other night was unbelievable. We have that angle there, you know, at Citizens Bank Park that David wanted so bad. David Montgomery wanted so bad. I pointing up at the sky the other night saying, well, it almost did it. That almost cost us that angle. And David was right about that because he wanted the angle for balls to carom off it for triples and inside the park home runs and more excitement and things like that. Well, it almost got us the other night because the kid almost got caught in between with that angle when Acuna hit that thing. But for whatever reasons, it's like in the 77-78, the Dodgers, we were better than the Dodgers. I still believe that, but we couldn't beat them. And the Braves, the last 2 years, they're probably better than the Phillies on paper, but they just don't get it done right now. So you got to take advantage of this.
All right. I did my part. I did my part, okay?
All right. I just got one quick thing. And then how do we stop the St. Joe's prep connection? Those two guys are oof.
Yeah, well, let's start with the guy receiving it.
Oof.
Last year, on a write-in, he got one vote for Big Ten Player of the Year.
Wow.
Guess who wrote him in?
You?
Me.
How did that game change last year in the playoffs when he got hurt?
When he got hurt in the third quarter, that's where Georgia won the game.
Exactly.
They can't handle him. And the thing about him, Wheels, right? You look at them, and most receivers, you're like, okay, you know, they're probably, you know, 5'11 to 6'1, 6'1 and a half. He's like 6'3, 6'4. When you're standing down with him, you don't realize how big he is. Wow. And he runs great routes, great hands. He's a hard handle. McCord is interesting on the other end in delivering the balls. I think he throws a really good ball, right? But he throws a really good ball when he's got a lot of things working for him. Good protection, good drop. When he has to create and you get him off his spot, you can get him off kilter. And I'm going to interested to see if Penn State can get him off kilter, because as much as we talk about Harrison justifiably, McCord justifiably, there's another guy that's in there that just kind of sneaks it up on you and just makes a play, and that's the tight end Stover.
Yep.
There's going to be three tight ends in this game, Warren, Johnson, and Stover. They're just big-time players that change the fate of the game. Because, I mean, Wheels, you and I know, tight end, okay? Too quick for a linebacker, too big for a safety. That's what makes him such a tough cover. And, you know, that's what makes him even more dangerous. He looks out, eight looks out and sees 18 and says, I think I'm going to have some shots. They're covering him.
And Penn State's done a great job with the tight ends the last couple of weeks. Hey, who's going to be the running back for Ohio State this weekend?
My guess is going to be Henderson. I think they've held him out the last couple of weeks. Just my guess.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
Williams has been legitimately hurt. Mm-hmm. Trainum has been good, but he's a good player, not a great player, but he's a good player. Yeah. Hayden, I think they've been trying to redshirt him, but then because of the circumstances, I think they felt they had to play him. Because they had to play him last year when Henderson got hurt, because Henderson didn't play in the aforementioned Georgia game. Henderson is one of those guys where every time he touches the ball, you keep thinking, okay, please, this can't be the big one.
Yeah, and, that's what he did to us last year.
Yeah, he's done it each of the last 2 years. He's had one big run in each. They contained him most of the way in 21 until a big play. They contained him most of the way in 22 until that fourth quarter play. So, yeah.
Well, I was afraid you were going to say that because I've been how I am with this stuff, how I love it, and I've been watching it, and I'm thinking, you know, I bet they're holding him out for this week. I bet they're holding him out for us. So I was hoping you were going to say that the Ohio State made an announcement that he's unavailable, but not to be, huh?
I'm just going to say, Day did say, hopefully Ohio State gets key players back this week. Okay? So the three key players are Emeka Ibuka, the wide receiver, very
another
good
one.
Travion Henderson and Denzel Burke, the corner. He's the best corner they have.
Yeah.
He left the game in the third quarter last week, didn't come back. Ibuka didn't travel because he hurt his ankle against Maryland. If he plays, I think the concession Wheels is going to be that they don't put him back on punt returns. They'll have Ballard return punts. That would be the concession. And then Henderson, we're all just kind of waiting to see what happens with him. It's like, all right, fine. I mean, because I'm all about the student-athlete and their health, I'd recommend one more week, but that's only
absolutely
me.
Absolutely.
Because you and I care.
I care. I do. You know, I couldn't identify more with that thought, that train of thought right there. Give him another week. You know, get him ready for Michigan. You know, something like that. You know,
that's what Jack and I say all the time. You know what? Because we care, I'd hold him out a week longer, wouldn't you?
It's a great way to put it. Keep him out another week. Well, you know, they present so many problems. What's that defensive end or line, was it 44?
Oh, JTT? We just call him JTT. I don't even bother with the last name.
Man. He was great last year against us. So, yeah.
Do you know what's interesting about that? When they lined him up at the beginning of the game last year, they lined him up against Olu, and Olu handled him. Handled him. So they flipped him over to the other side, which was a great move by Jim Knowles and Larry Johnson. And everyone has said to me, he says, yeah, and you notice how Caden Wallace didn't handle him. I said, guys, Caden Wallace didn't play in the game. And they looked at me and went, what? I said, remember, That was the backup tackle that played in the game. Not Wall. I'm not going to go into names because I don't want to, you know, because he had a rough day. Right? But I said, Wallace didn't play in the game. And I always get,
Well, pay attention. the other thing is, how good is this Penn State defense? I mean, they look so fast, and they look like they really come up. I mean, they don't make every tackle, but they look like they come up with a purpose to hit somebody.
Well, first of all, they're getting production from all 11 spots, and that makes a big difference. And they're doing it with depth. So you look at King and Dixon, but, geez, then you look at Hardy, and you look at Cam Miller. And then you get to the defensive front. Well, they've got Adisa Isaac, and they have Chop. Oh, by the way, tonight Dennis Sutton and Amin Vanover are really good. You know, and you start going through the depth that they have. And, Wheels, that's the difference in this team. And I'm sure Brian has told you about this because Brian's been up and he's seen it. And he's probably told you that about the athletic depth on the team. Yeah. So, but the big thing to me is after this week, I get you here next week.
I'm coming up for Indiana.
Yes. Hey, you didn't think I remembered this, buddy boy, but I did.
You're unbelievable. All the things you have in your mind, you remember that Renee and I are going to come up for.
I said it on the show that you and Renee were coming up.
I'm the biggest Texas Ranger fan right now, even though it's bad because, you know, you'd lose the home field advantage in the World Series. But I'd miss World Series games if the Phillies get in there and the Astros win. So I catch myself rooting for the Rangers right now, even though that's stupid. But I haven't been up there for so long, I can't wait to get up there and just be in the environment again and, you know, hopefully stop by and see you a little bit before the show and, you know, that'd be fun.
Well, yeah, this time we're outside the tunnel, the players' tunnel.
Yeah, that's easy.
Okay? So you and Renee better get over there.
We'll be there.
I know. See, I know you. I know you'll be there.
I gotta come over. I gotta see you and Roger. I mean, Jack.
you gotta see Roger so Roger remembers who you are.
your listeners don't need to hear that story, but I know you have a lot of crazy things happen, but you have to keep that one in the memory bank as a good one.
That's one of the all-timers. I'm looking at Pat like, what are you doing?
Who's this guy? What the hell is he doing in here?
Over here in the back. You don't mind if I pull you aside for a moment and just do a quick synopsis. I won't give you all his credentials because we'll be here till the end of the game.
he's still mad
at me. I didn't go into the booth with you when I came up there. So I know you are. I know.
Because I can't return the favor anymore.
Hey, my friend. It is so good to talk to you. I had a blast. And I will definitely see you in 10 or 11 days.
Thank you, Steve. It's, you know, I always enjoy catching up with you and texting back and forth. And you relax me a lot of times before games. Although, I don't think anything will relax anybody before Saturday.
Well, maybe you'll be relaxed by 4 o'clock Saturday. How about that?
I hope so. I hope so. We're so due to get those guys, you know, and they're so good, and there's a great program and recruit so well and all, but, man, we've been so close. So maybe this week.
Absolutely. Wheels, thanks, buddy.
Thank you, Steve. Anytime. I look forward to seeing you soon.